He said sometimes Guru is
some, after some time Guru can become as you often say, Guru can become like your close friend and like your father, like mother, like so. At that time, your behavior should change, or it should become be the same. So Mariyada should be there, or it should change.
I probably you're referring to one time I quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, seventh canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 15 or so. Narada Muni is describing the duties of the ashramas, different ashramas, ashram duties, activities, and qualities. So he's talking about brahmachari and vanapras and grihastha sannyas. So when he's talking about brahmachari, he says, brahmachari gurukule vasandantor gurohitam sudrida sorida. He says that the brahmachari, or disciple, you can say, brahmachari disciple, he should live in the house of the guru, ideally. Brahmachari gurukule, he should live in the gurukul. Vasandantor gurohitam. Gurohitam means guruhitam, means he should live for the benefit and happiness of the guru. Vasan dantor means he or she should control their senses, should follow the four regulative principles that we all know about those, and other principles of behavior and proper moral principles and legal principles. He should control his senses. And then it says, sudrida sarida. The brahmachari, because he's a young boy and he's living with this, usually in old days the gurus were married, mostly gurus were married, and they were rishis, and they had ashrams, so they would train. So he's a young boy living there with the guru, so it says he should have sudrida sarida. He should have a very firm sense of friendship with the guru. So now how to take this teaching of Narada Muni and apply it to the modern guru-disciple relationship where there's no guru-kula and the guru is traveling around the world, or the guru is in one place and disciples are living away from the guru or in a separate place. So how to put it all together? So you were saying, does the relationship with the disciple change as he starts to see his guru in a different way, or if he starts to feel more personal or friendly with the guru, does relationship change? Actually, of course, the relationship evolves. Every relationship with human beings develops over time. Everything has its, everything grows and develops and expands, and like this, so relations sometimes grow and sometimes dwindle. Relationships begin and relationships end. But of course, the relationship with guru, that's why guru is called Sadguru. Sad means eternal, Satchitanand. So guru, we are eternal, guru is eternal, and a relationship with guru is also eternal. So now, it doesn't, everything, what happens is as we, in the beginning, there are certain qualities and certain attitudes and certain feelings of the disciple towards the guru may not be awakened yet, or may not be felt yet, or perceived yet, or experienced yet. So in the initial relationship of guru and disciple, it's one based, the relationship is one of, based on respect. That this is, the guru is my senior, the guru is the representative of God, he is Sakshat Hari, he's non-different from Hari. Guru, every guru has a human aspect. He has a human aspect. He eats, he sleeps, he gets sick, he wears glasses, or he doesn't wear glasses, or he gets operations, he passes stool, he buys clothes. He has a human aspect, like we, but we should never see that, or we should never consider that. That's just part of being embodied in this world. We only see the guru as Sakshat Hari, as a representative of Krishna, as one sense, like equal to Krishna, in one sense, representative of Krishna. So the just like Ganga has two aspects. It has has this pure aspect and an impure aspect. So the Shastras say, if we see the foam, we see foam and dead bodies, we see foam and dead bodies and grass and grains and things floating on the Ganga, and we think, oh, the Ganga is dirty. No, the Ganga is not dirty. That's the surface of the Ganga. The dead body or the stool, some stool is floating on the surface, because the Ganga is Pavitram, it's Charanamrita Vishnu, Trivikram. So it's always pure. So we don't consider that. We push away the grasses and mud and stool, anything that's in that, we push away that, and we take bath in the pure waters of Ganga and become purified of our sins and spiritually elevated. So Ganga is always pure. So we don't consider that. And it says in the Shastras, and even Rupa Goswami says, if you consider that, if you think the Murti is made of stone, or do you think, if you think the Archamurti is just material or made of stone or wood, or you think the Guru is just some mundane material man, or you think the Ganga is contaminated because it has foam, then you have Nara Buddhi. Narak Buddhi means your intelligence is hellish. Narak means hell. Means a very bad, offensive, wrong mentality. So we don't consider that. We put all that aside. So the idea that Guru is Krishna, and from beginning of relationship and forever, we always have respect for Guru. We always worship Guru. We always respect Guru. Every day we worship Guru. In fact, three times a day, Vishnu says we should remember Guru. Yasya prasadam bhagavat prasadam, yasya prasadam nagati katopi, dayam stuvam stasya yasyas tri sandhyam, vande guru sri chananandavindam. And the last prayer, Guru Vashtakam, says that by the mercy, yasya prasadam bhagavat prasadam, by the mercy of Krishna I have the mercy of Guru, and by the mercy of Guru and pleasure of Guru I can attain Krishna. So this wonderful spiritual personality, Sri Guru, Sakshat Hari, I should remember him, Tri Sandhya Vandanam. I should remember and pray to him three times a day at least. So that worship of Gurudev is all day long and all night long, and remembrance of Gurudev. We always maintain the highest standard of respect and regard and a mood of worship towards our Guru. We worship Krishna. We don't say, oh, Krishna, you're my pal. Hi, Krishna, put our arm around Krishna, put our arm around Aditi. How you doing, Krishna? And pinch his cheek. Are you okay? Are you nice? You like the sabji I made? You may do that if you're on the level of prema, bhava. You may, because we read the life stories of great devotees that are liberated, and they're seeing the Murti is Krishna, and they're pinching his cheek. Are you eating enough? You look too skinny. Your cheeks are too small. So they may pinch their Didi, but so we don't go up to Gurudev. How you doing, Gurudev? Slap on the back. Hey, Gurudev, nice to see you. So it's not some Gurudev. It's always the greatest respect and greatest honor that we're seeing. When we see Gurudev, we're seeing Krishna. When we serve Gurudev, we're serving Krishna. But as we serve Guru, as we hear from Guru, our relationship deepens more and more, becomes more personal, and we start to feel the presence of Gurudev more. Our love, it's called Guru Bhakti. Bhakti is infinite. Bhakti is unlimited. It's transcendental. Anything transcendental, first of all, anything that's transcendental is eternal. Krishna says in Gita, second chapter, Nasato Bhavato Bhava. He says he says Asat, that which is real is eternal. That which is false is temporary. So this material world is real, but it's false in the sense that it's temporary. But reality is a spiritual reality. That verse is there. We can just read that verse. It's in chapter 2, verse 16 of Gita. Nasato vidyate bhava, nabhava vidyate sataha. Ubayor api drishtontas, tvanayos tatvadarshibi. Those that know the truth, they conclude that what is temporary has no endurance, and the eternal soul is no change. They have concluded by studying the nature of both. So this is nasato vidite bhavo. That which is temporary is not real, and that which is real says nasata vidite bhava, navava vidite sata. That which is eternal is real. That which is temporary is unreal, non-existent. He said asat. So this relationship is eternal with Guru, and it develops. But all the time, from beginning to end, we always maintain the greatest respect. We always offer obeisances. We always worship Guru. We always pray to Guru. We worship Guru like God. But then, because God is so far in one sense, because we're not seeing Him, but we can feel His presence, and we're serving Him. Every devotee feels the presence of God and feels the existence of Krishna in his own individual way. And that's called his ruchi. That's called his taste and his personal experience in devotion. Without that taste, without that experience, then one cannot carry on. So that's always coming, and the devotee progresses more according to the increase of that taste. So when Gurudev, as the relationship develops over time, as you serve Gurudev more and you hear from him more, then you start developing the relationship is in Dasya Bhav. He is my master. He is my spiritual master. I am his servant. That's called Dasya Bhav. And so much respect. And then as you serve, and because the Gurudev is affectionate to his disciples, then you feel friendly towards the Gurudev. You feel some friendship. So that's Sakya Bhav. So you feel friendship, and you feel happy to be with Gurudev, and you see that he's happy to see you, and so you feel the reciprocation from the person, Gurudev, Guru, that he's treating you with affection and with love, and you feel his love, so then your love increases. So naturally, like any relationship. But it never crosses the maryada. You always follow all these rules and regulations of maryada. You don't step on his things. Gurudev's my friend now, so I can wear his socks, and I can use his clothes, and I can sit on his asana, and you know, I can go in a temple and sit on his asana and study, and when he's not there. And no, we don't. We never. We always maintain this mood of respect. What I say in the ideal guru relationship is a perfect blend of intimacy, respect, and friendship. There's friendship. Gurudev is like a friend. And then some people, we see when devotees write their Vyasa Puja offerings, they write some offerings to their guru. Sometimes we see in some places they do like that. And they say, oh, Gurudev, many times ladies will write like this. They'll say, oh, Gurudev, you're like my father, because maybe they had no father. Their father ran away, or he was not good, or he beat them, or he was not kind and loving. So they see this elderly man, this elderly person, the guru, they kind of project that he's like my father. Oh, Prabhupada, I've read so many times. Oh, Prabhupada, you're like my father. You know, you're guiding me, protecting me, helping me. You're just like my spiritual father. So you can see Gurudev as father, as friend, like this. So these type of moods are there. But always the basic relationship of Guru and Shishya, he is my master eternally and I am his servant. So there's more formality and there's more respect on the plane of Guru Shishya in Sadaka Rup. In this form that we have, man-woman form, that we're serving Guru, there's much more respect and much more distance. But then, when we come to the spiritual world in Siddhadeya, then Guru is in his Siddhadeya. So now, if you're in the Mandri Bhav, like Gaudiya Vaishnavas, many are in the worshipping in Madhurya Rati and Mandri Bhav, so then now the Siddha Sarup, the perfect Siddha spiritual body of the disciple, he or she is in Gopi Sarup as a Manjari. And Gurudev is also a Manjari. But even there, Gurudev has a name, a particular name of Manjari, and I have a particular name. So we're both Manjaris. So what are we? Now we're both Dasis. And Radharani is the master, and Krishna is the master, and Lita Sakhi is the master. And Rupa Mantri is the master, and Rati Mantri is the master, and Vishaka Sakhi is the master, master of Gurudev. Because now when we see Gurudev, he has his spiritual master, then his spiritual master, and his spiritual master. And in the spiritual world, also, Gurudev has his master, and I'm a Dasi, he's a Dasi, but still I have respect because he's my Gurudevi. Some people say Guru Sakhi. I asked Gurudev, I said, how do we think of you? Or when we meditate like that, do we think of you as Guru? I should call you Guru Devi or Guru Sakhi? He said, Guru Devi. I said, okay. What as you like. Some people, they say, my Guru Dev in this world, my Guru Dev and my Guru Sakhi. They said, Guru Dev, Guru Sakhi, my Guru Devi. So there, even then, the Guru Dev, sometimes Guru Dev will give orders. You do this seva, you help me with this, you do that. But there, the relationship will be much more intimate, much more friendly. Because you'll be living together 24 hours a day. The sadhana siddha mandri will be with the Gurudev in the spiritual world eternally. And 24 hours a day they'll be together. So how much intimate? Now you go every once a week or once a month or whatever, see Gurudev, personally see or whatever. But there it's... So obviously when there's such proximity, maybe sleeping next together, everywhere eating, sharing, eating together, sharing clothes. You'd be like, just like two sisters in a family. You have two sisters in a family. One's 12 and the other, one's 12 years and 9 months and the other's, of course, they're sisters. She has to be at least a year or so younger. He's a couple years younger. So, but there, the Gurudev is only a few months or a few days older than the guru, the disciple. The Gurudev is 12 months and 12 years and 9 months and 11 days, and you're 12 years and 9 months and 10 days. So you're the same size. You can change clothes. You can, Gurudev, can I wear your dress today? Yeah, okay, So, because there's no boundaries. There's love, but here there's some more boundaries. There's some more formality in the sadhaka roop. But there, and even here, you see that among disciples of any guru, some are very close, some are very distant, some have a very awe and reverence, folding hands, Jai Gurudev, yes Gurudev. And some are very close to the Gurudev. So in Chanakya Pandit, he says about Niti Shastra, he said there are three personalities you should not get too close to and too far from. Three entities or objects should not get too close or be too far away from. Guru, king, and fire. Fire, fire? Agni. If you get too close to the fire, you burn up. If you're wearing rayon, you're wearing a rayon sari or something, it's not silk. If it's rayon or nylon or dacron or whatever, some chemical, you get near a big fire, there's a big fire, you catch this fire on your sari and woof! Haribo! So too close to the fire. If you're wearing silk, it doesn't burn. So usually when ladies, they do cooking in a deity kitchen, in the West they wear silk. Silk sari or silk choli, whatever. If you put it on the flame, you can hold a match to it and just goes little... There, nowhere. No, just nowhere. You know that? Or wool. When you're cooking, this gas stove, you have your things like this and you can get burned up, It's very, very dangerous. And besides, silk is pure. Silk and wool. Now, the three persons. So the fire, you get too close, you get burned. If you're too far away, you get cold. Can't cook your food. So fire has power. In other words, fire is very powerful, and you have to be in the right proximity to get the advantage. The king, if you're too close to the king, say, oh, king, your wife looks so stupid, Acha, you think my wife looks stupid? Off with the head. So if you get too close to the king, you make an insult, then it cuts your head off. And if you're too far and you have no protection, you go way out in the jungle and you expect the king to protect you. Oh, king, protect me. I can't even hear you. So you should always stay in a proper distance. Then the third person is the guru. You get too familiar and too close, you make aparad. It's called mad elephant offense. If you're too far you forget the guru, and then you forget his instructions and you don't communicate and you have no relationship and no seva, then you lose the grace. You may fall in maya. So we shouldn't be very far from Guru and his teachings and instructions and association. And we should be careful when we're very closely associated with Guru. So those disciples that do have a very personal and close relationship with Guru, they have to really be on their toes. And they have to always be remembering who is the Guru, what is his identity, how he's transcendental, how he's representative of God. Even when he's old and the disciple's cleaning the stool of the Guru, or he's cleaning so many things. Just like when Madhavendra Puri was leaving his body, he was a great saint, a great saint in the Madhva Sampradaya, Madhavendra Puri. Then one of his disciples, Ishvara Puri, was taking care of him. Ishvara Puri was the Diksha Guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Ishvara Puri. So he was taking care of his guru, and his guru's body was not working well, and urine and stool and here and there, and cooking and all these things, moving him, taking him for latrine. But he did very perfect service, and I always remember that I'm serving God's representative. He is Sakshat Hari. He never thought any mundane thoughts. So he got the full blessings of his guru. He got the full blessings of Ishvara Puri. Now another disciple, his name was Ramchandra Puri. He's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ramchandra Puri was also associating with his guru at the end of his life when his guru was dying. He was instructing his guru. And I told you before that the disciple, it's an offense if the disciple tries to show his knowledge in front of the guru, or tries to correct the guru or tell the guru what to do or instruct the guru. That's a big offense as a disciple. Ramchandra Puri was instructing his guru who was leaving his world and closing up his activities, you know, disappearing, dying, whatever. He was telling him, he said, "Oh, why are you praying like this? Why are you chanting like this? You're saying like this." Madhavendra Puri was reciting a very beautiful verse when he was leaving his body, because Madhavendra Puri was a great devotee of Radharani. Although he appeared, apparently, although his name was Puri, his title was Puri because he took sannyas. But there's some debate about whether Madhavendra Puri was in Madhva Sampradaya or not, because no one in the Madhva Sampradaya has the name Puri. But what many devotees argue, or they say, is that we don't know the history. We don't know the exact history of this person because it's long ago. But Madhavendra Puri, who is the guru of Ishvara Puri, who is the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Madhavendra Puri is the guru of Advaitacharya, Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu, and also Nityananda Prabhu. So generally it's said he's a member of the Madhva Sampradaya, Madhva Brahma Sampradaya. But there's some debate about that. So generally what they say is, well, we don't know, but it's a good chance that since he's connected, he's said to be connected with Madhva Sampradaya, maybe he took diksha, he took his Gopal Mantra diksha, Guru diksha, from a guru in Madhva Sampradaya, but later he took sannyas. Just like Vishwambar, Nimai Pandit, he took diksha from Ishvara Puri. And then later he took sannyas from Keshava Bharati. Keshava Bharati was a Mayavadi sannyas. So Lord Chaitanya took sannyas from a Mayavadi. So that's how they say it, that maybe he took sannyas, because it was popular 1,000 years ago, whenever Madhavendra Puri lived. Most devotees that were sannyasis were Advaitins or Mayavadis. So if you wanted to take sannyas, you would have to take over there. So that's what they say. But when he was leaving his body, although he's in Madhva Sampradaya, and they worship Krishna, Udupi Krishna, and Vaikuntha, and Dasyarati, that's their conception, the Madhvas, but he was chanting Radhe Radhe. He was a great Radharani Bhakta. So they say that Radharani Bhakti and Radha Dasyam and the mood of serving Radharani, it comes from Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri gave that same mood of Radha Dasyam and the service of Radharani and Radharani's glories. Madhavendra Puri gave it to Ishvara Puri, his disciple, and Ishvara Puri gave it to Mahaprabhu. Of course, Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna, but it's also told like this. So at the end of his life, he kept repeating this mantra over and over again. He was crying this out, because he was totally identifying with the bhav, the feelings, the sentiments, bhav, and heart of Srimati Radharani when Krishna went to Mathura. Krishna left Radharani when he was 11 years old, and he went to Mathura, and he stayed there for 17 years. Then he went to Dwarka, and he stayed 100 years. Krishna lived 125 years. 11 years in Braj, and about 17 years, Gurudev said, 17 years or so in 15 years, something he told me, 15 years or so he stayed in Mathura. So that's 25, and then 100 years in Dwarka. So when Krishna went to Mathura, Radharani was so desperate and so much unhappy. So one day she cried out, and this is what he was praying, this is what he was crying out. This is his own prayer. It's repeated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, and also in Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, he quotes it. Ai dina diarda natahe, matura nata kadava lokise, ridiyam twad aloka kataram, dayate brahmyati kim karomyaham, kim karomyaham. What can I do? Oh, Radharani cries out. Oh, you whose heart is most merciful to the wretched, O my master, O Lord of Mathura, when will I see you again, O Lord of my life? Because I cannot see you, my heart is agitated and breaking apart. What shall I do now? So he was saying this over and over again. O compassionate Lord, now you're the Lord of Mathura. Before you were the Lord of my heart, but without seeing you, my heart is breaking. Aloka kataram. Kataram means ridaya kataram. Means my heart is so much aggrieved and so much agitated and so much disturbed without seeing you. In this condition, oh my beloved, dayate brahmyati kim karomyaham. What can I do? Where can I go? Who can I speak to? How can I solace myself? I have no comfort. So he's in this great mood of Radharani's viraha, separation, crying, totally in prema when he's leaving his body. And Ramachandra is saying, Gurudev, you should fix your mind on Brahman. Fix your mind on Brahman. You're about to leave your body. Why are you chanting this prayer? Radharani is separated from Krishna. This is not right. So when Madhavendra Puri heard that, he said, get out from here. Just leave. If I die, if I leave my body, seeing your face will be most inauspicious. Just go from here. So obviously he made a big offense to his Gurudev. That was a big breach of maryada behavior. It's called maryada vyatikara. Maryada vyatikaram means to break maryada, to misbehave, to show the wrong behavior. He tried to instruct his Gurudev. Completely crazy instruction. And because of that big offense he made, then Ramchandra went to Puri and he offended the Ariyan Vaishnava devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And then he met Lord Chaitanya and said, ah, Lord Chaitanya, I see here in this Gambira so many ants are crawling everywhere. Oh, that means you're just getting all Jagannath Mahaprasad. You're just eating sweets all day and night. What kind of bogus sannyasi are you? He said, you're a bogus sannyasi. And then Lord Chaitanya, when he heard that, he started fasting. He just started fasting. He gave up all eating of any Jagannath Mahaprasadam, and he stopped accepting any invitations to anyone's house. And then Ramachandra left there. And then all the devotees, they said, oh, Lord Chaitanya, he's not accepting invitations to any Brahmin's house for lunch. He hasn't taken a morsel of Jagannath Mahaprasadam. He's fasting because of this great aparadhi Ramachandra. He's feeling so bad. He's fasting, totally not eating anything. So then all the devotees in Puri, they started fasting also. And they said, Lord Chaitanya, he's not Parati. He offended his guru. He offended all the Vaishnavas here. That's his nature. He's like that. Wherever he goes, he offends the devotees. Why are you taking it so seriously? So please, you eat again. So then Lord Chaitanya started eating again. But then Ramachandra Puri, he got leprosy, or we don't know what happened to him. Very unfortunate situation. So these are some points to consider.
Jai Jai Shri Radhe.